There are some Bibles around, and we're going to dip into one or two extra verses as we go. So if you'd like to follow along, that would be really good. I think I'm going to pull that chair for you. There. And that's good. I probably said this to you before, but I was brought up on a rich diet of sayings or proverbs. My mother had one for every occasion. And one of her favourites and oft-used expressions was, tell the truth and
shame.
Very good. My sister and I were often on the receiving end of her fury when clearly lies had been told. In any case, she would punch her message home by saying to us, you have to have a good memory to be a good liar. And your memory, Paul, is very, very poor. And that is still so. And true to form, my children, when they were young, nothing would get me more cross than them telling lies. And if I'm honest, I've told plenty of lies myself. And I hate myself when I tell lies. And I expect you do too. I hate lies. God hates lies. Lies wreck relationships. They wreck relationships with our loving God, with our loved ones, and with each other. Let's go a bit deeper, if we can, with this truth. And I can hear me echoing at the back here. If you have twiddle with the knobs. Thank you, Jack. That's good. Okay. Pentecost reminds us, and I guess you were reminded last week, how essential it was for those early Christian believers to be guided by the Holy Spirit. And particularly this morning in that passage from John's Gospel, it's into all truth. And how that is equally true for us, that we need to be guided by the Holy Spirit into all truth. Jesus, of course, claims to have the monopoly on truth and the monopoly on the only way to God. A verse we know well, John 14, verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So knowing the truth is about closeness of relationship, simply put, knowing God. And on this Trinity Sunday, we recall again that knowing God the Father is possible through his Son, Jesus Christ, and knowing Jesus Christ is possible, although he is now by the Father's side, he is made known to us by the Spirit of truth, the promise of Jesus to his disciples, and of course, that promise comes to us as well. And this is important. Here's another trinity. This is a trinity of my own, a proposition that's always blessed me. If I didn't believe in God the Creator, who would I have to thank each day for the beautiful world that I wake up to? If I didn't believe in God the Savior, who would forgive me my sins, bring me back to God? If I didn't believe in God the Holy Spirit, how would I know Christ in my inmost being? How would I have the power to live for him each day? Good questions. There's another word I want to add to this word truth, and that is the word wisdom. I want us to have these two words together today, and I'm conscious of the fact, or I was when I was preparing this, that I might try to take on too much and fail with both, trying to hit two targets at once. But here goes. Just pick up what you can from this and take it to yourself. Another one of my own ideas. Wisdom, if you like, gives truth legs that enables us to walk with Jesus day by day and to be seen to walk by Jesus day by day, because that is so important. Those we live with, those we work with, those we encounter in our everyday changes and chances of this life. And that's where truth and wisdom is lived out in the 6 days and 22 and a half hours that we're not here in church. We can all be truthful and wisdom for an hour and a half when we're together. But this word, these words, truth and wisdom, are for all the other minutes and hours of your week and for my week. This is where it really, really counts. I think it was Billy Graham who said that he read a chapter of Proverbs each day in order to be wise. And I think there's something good about doing that. And Proverbs is one of those books that I call, you know, it makes sense books. It does. It makes sense. It's part of what the theologians call the wisdom literature of the Old Testament, along with Job and Ecclesiastes. Now, these proverbs could be taken and are often taken at face value. I'm not going to do it, but I did think about doing it. You could call out a number, and you could call out a verse, a chapter and a verse, and there would be a proverb that would speak to us. That surely would happen. I didn't want to do that because I don't want to trivialize the word of God. But you can actually do that. Turn to Proverbs when you get home and just turn the page over, chapter 9, verse 12, and there will be something to speak to your heart. So it can be taken at face value. And we have to say, don't we, that if the world took notice of the Proverbs of our God, it would be a better place. But it is much more than a random assortment of do's or don'ts. So let's notice together. You've got your service sheets, your Bibles with you. Notice the opening chapters, the opening verses, of chapter 8. Do we see there that wisdom will be everywhere, calling out to all mankind, not to be denied or silenced? This is the truth around the whole world, that the wisdom of God will never be silenced. Now, if you have an idea that perhaps you've not read Proverbs for a long time, or maybe not even read it at all, just a little bit of background to encourage you. This is the wisdom literature of the scriptures. It's most closely linked to King Solomon, who, for all his credit in God's eyes, managed to act foolishly, and in the end he paid a heavy price. 1 Kings chapter 3 gives us the details of his rise. Solomon builds a temple for the Lord, who he loves, but still makes forbidden sacrifices at the high places. He marries outside the covenant of God. But it surely is a sign of God's grace that he's invited by God to ask for anything he wants. Now, he's a king, and you would not be surprised if he was tempted to ask for things for himself. But no, he asks for a discerning heart to govern God's people and to distinguish between right and wrong. That's the sort of prayer we could make our own, really, couldn't we? Not that we are leading anybody in particular, but that we would be led into those things, that we would ask what Solomon asked, for wisdom and for truth, each and every day. But of course, as it was for Solomon, so it is for us today. There is a little word with big implications, that word if. And of course, God said to him, if you walk in my ways and obey my statutes and commands. But of course, we know by 1 Kings 11, that describes his downfall. But the important point here to say, I think, is that although Solomon was a flawed character, his wisdom still stands because it's given by God. But there was one who was to come, who was to be the wisdom of God in the person of God, his son Jesus Christ, whose word is just and righteous. In our reading from Proverbs 8, the second reading, the second part of the Old Testament reading we had there, we look back to the Creator God. Have a look at those words there. The Creator God, who was the wisdom that made the world in personalized terms and in poetic terms, referred to as her, as existing with God before all things and being God's agent in creation. They're majestic words, aren't they? Look down at those words. They're magnificent words. Let's just have a look at them. Let me just read them out again to us. It's chapter 8, isn't it? And it's verses 22 onwards. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works before the deeds of old. I was appointed from eternity, from the beginning, before the world began. When there were no oceans, I was given birth. When there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the earth or its fields or any of the dust of the world, I was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea its boundaries so that the waters would not overstep his command, and when he marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was the craftsman at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world, and delighted in mankind. Who do you see in those verses? I see Jesus there. Do you see Jesus in those verses? How wonderful that is. And of course, the echo of those verses takes us straight to John chapter 1. And just hear how similar this is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that light was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Jesus, in and before creation. And then, of course, taking on a bit further in the New Testament there, St. Paul identifies the gift of wisdom. It's an important gift to us. It's in his list of spiritual gifts, isn't it? In chapter 12 and verse 7 of the first letter to the Corinthians. Again, in that letter, St. Paul describes Jesus as the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 24. And in verse 30, becomes really personalized for us. St. Paul says, he has become wisdom for us. That gift of wisdom. The wisdom from God that St. Paul says is our righteousness, our holiness, and our redemption. Wisdom, the agent in Christ, mediated to us by the promise of the Holy Spirit that we read about in our reading from John's Gospel, our short reading. So then, as I finish, let's ask ourselves one or two questions. What are the Proverbs for? Well, not surprisingly, the opening verses of the book of Proverbs gives us the answer. Actually, let's have a little look there, shall we? Go to Proverbs chapter 1, Psalms, Proverbs, that's right. And the first six verses there, this tells us what the Proverbs are for. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. For attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. And then there's a verse that we know well. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. One theologian says they are all part of the armory by which the wise man confronts his hearers with the truth about their world or themselves. And that's what the Proverbs do when you read them. They confront us with the truth of our world and ourselves. Some will sting you in the face with their directness, and some you will have to work at to mull over them. So what should we do with these words then? Wisdom and truth. Well, this is what I've decided to do with them, and perhaps you might as well. To face up to the areas of my life where there is a lack of wisdom and a lack of truth. Not a stick to beat us with, but I think that's where we must start. It is in our fallen nature, not that we need any reminding, that we are economical with the truth when it suits us. And we are wise in our own understanding when it suits us. Yes, we might find that there are circumstances when white lies, as they're sometimes called, seem helpful and kindest. But like the office junior with the job of answering the phone for his boss, tell him I'm out was met by you tell him yourself, because if I start lying for you, it won't be long before I'm lying to you. Do you see? Truth. He became the company secretary, so I understand, and the man that the boss really, really trusted. So that's the first thing, to face up to the areas of our life where there's a lack of truth and wisdom. To learn, this is my second point, and relearn the wisdom for yourself. In the front of this old Bible that I've got here, I brought it along this morning for this purpose. This was given to me by my house group in 1985 from the church where I became a Christian and left home for training for the ministry. And someone very cleverly, you won't be able to see from here, but I'll show you afterwards if you like, managed to write in a circle. Do you see? In the front here. And these are words from Romans chapter 12. This is the verse they gave me for my ministry. And here we are nearly 30 years later, but they still apply. This is what they put here. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, I have to say, I was a bit upset when I got this. I thought they could have blessed me with something, you know, do I need to up my game? Is there something that I'm getting wrong so far? But it is true, and I've proved it to be true over the years, that the learning process is never, ever complete. Wisdom and truth is necessary for every day of our lives. And I must keep learning, and I must keep relearning the truth. Someone once said the Bible is such a big book because we are so slow to learn. And maybe that's true. I don't know. But and this is my third point. So my first one is to face up to the areas of our lives, to learn and relearn the wisdom for ourselves. And then thirdly, and finally, to demonstrate wisdom and truth to others. I say to demonstrate because our words and our actions need to add up, don't they? They need to be seamless. As we open our mouths, we need to speak God's wisdom and truth. And a good maxim is, if it's not wise and if it's not true, then don't say it. How often we need to know that. And I was thinking too in this question of evangelism and mission that we're praying for and working towards. I think one of the fears, I'm quite fearful about mission. I think people know that. I'm fearful. And one of the reasons I'm fearful is that our lives are not sufficiently different for anyone to ask why our faith is important. And I think we all need to do something about that as we prepare ourselves for mission. So we need to make these things a priority, to get wisdom and truth deep into our very souls. My hair might be grey, and next month I officially become an old age pensioner. I have this battered Bible that I've been using for years, but I want to say to you, I'm not a wise person. The only wisdom that I have is the wisdom I've been wise enough to accept from Jesus himself. And so I'd like to finish with a proverb. And it's from Proverbs 3. And this is what I want to read to us. And just to be quiet for a moment or two and take the proverb in and take it to ourselves, to get wisdom and truth by his Spirit into our lives day by day. It's Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. We've heard them many times, I know, but this is it. This is what the Lord is saying to us today. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Let's just bow our heads and think about those words, and then I'll just lead us in prayer.